إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، وما بعد. فالحمد لله على ما من به من تكرار هذه المجالس المباركة، فعلى بركة الله نكمل بالقراءة من شرح رياض الصالحين. نعم.
الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى بكم مشتري قبل خطبة الحاجة وصلاة الفجر صلى الله عليه وسلم يشتري منها speeches with whereby he said verily all praise is due to Allah, we praise Him, we seek His assistance, we seek His forgiveness, we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own selves and the evil recompense of our bad actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can cause to go astray on the sky, and whomsoever Allah leads to go or deems to go astray or decrees to go astray, none can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a servant and messenger. And then the Shaykh hafizahullah ta'ala proceeded to thank Allah azza wa jalla for allowing us to come together in continuation of these blessed gatherings wherein we are studying the book Riyad al-Salihin.
No.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. يقول المصنف أبو زكريا يحيى بن شرف النووي رحمه الله تعالى وغفر الله له ولشيخنا وللحاضرين والمستمعين جميعا في كتابه رياض الصالحين باء الوعظ والاقتصاد فيه. قال الله تعالى ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة.
ادعوا
إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. وعن أبي وائل
الدعوة شأنها عظيم.
الشيخ حبيب الله تعالى said that this affair of دعوة or calling to the religion it's a very great affair.
وهي أحسن قول.
And it is the best of speeches.
ومن أحسن ممن دعا إلى الله.
As Allah سبحانه وتعالى states, who is better than the one who calls to Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
وتلاحظ دعا إلى الله، يدعو إلى الله، سبيل ربك، هذا كله تحديث القصد إلى من تدعو، أنت تدعو إلى الله لا إلى غير الله.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى stated that in this verse is the statement, the meaning of that the individual he calls to Allah سبحانه وتعالى on the path of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and this is a reminder that the individual's intent is that he is calling to Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and it is the reminder of sincerity or ikhlas.
ومن هذا يتضح أهمية التوحيد والإخلاص.
And from this, what is derived from this is the importance of التوحيد, the oneness of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and having إخلاص or sincerity, making all forms of worship strictly for Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
لأنك تدعو إلى الله.
Why? Because you call to Allah.
لا جماعة, لا حزب, لا تنظيم. أنت تدعو إلى الله, دين الله.
You call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't call to a group or a hizb, a party or anything of the like.
الأحزاب والتنظيمات والفرق لها حكمها الضيق.
These groups and organizations and parties, the Shaykh of Allah ta'ala said that the ruling with regards to them is a ضيق, and one of constriction or restriction.
أما الدعوة إلى الله, دعوة هي الإسلام, أنت تدعو إلى دين الله رحمة للعالمين.
But calling to the religion of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, this is calling to the religion of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and this is a mercy from Allah سبحانه وتعالى, mercy of the Lord of all worlds.
ولذلك لما ذكر الله الأحزاب ذكرها على وجه الذم, كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون.
And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala is reminding us that in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this word of ahzab, which can be translated as to parties or sects, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them from the standpoint of disparaging them.
إذا عندنا دعوة.
So we have دعوة, calling to the religion.
إلى سبيل ربك.
Upon the path of your Lord, calling to the path of your Lord.
بالحكمة.
With wisdom.
وموعظة.
And a law or an admonishment or advising.
حسنة.
And this lower عبادة should be hasana, the best man or good man.
يعني هذه الآية أتى فيها ذكر خمسة معالم.
And the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى stated that in this verse there are five signposts that we need to pay attention to.
ما هي الحكمة؟
And the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى is asking the question, what is this حكمة? What is this wisdom?
الحكمة هي وضع الشيء في موضعه.
And the definition of حكمة or wisdom is that you place things in their proper places.
ولا تستطيع أن تقول اللين حكمة أو الشدة حكمة. إنما الحكمة وضع الشيء في موضعه. فتارة مارس النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللين كالرجل الذي بال في المسجد فأخذه، ومارس أحيانا الشدة كالرجل الذي لبس الخاتم الذهب ثم مد يده إليه ونزع الخاتم، أيحمد أحدكم أن يجعل في يده جمرة من نار. إذن الحكمة وضع الشيء في موضعه.
And the Shaykh Abu Bakr Ta'ala stated that the person cannot say that leniency or severity is wisdom in the absolute sense. Rather, in the time of leniency, when one is lean, this is wisdom. And the example of this is when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with the Bedouin man who urinated in the masjid. And severity, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was harsh when the situation deemed him to be harsh, like the man who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pulled off the ring, the gold ring that the man was wearing, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Is it a situation where one of you intentionally puts a coal, a burning coal from the coal of the hellfire, on his hand?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took off this individual's ring. So the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that the definition of wisdom is putting things in their proper places. So the situation that deems lenient, one is lenient. The situation that deems harshness, one is harsh.
بالموعظة الحسنة.
And this good admonishment or the best admonishment or advising
ليس فقط موعظة بل موعظة حسنة.
It's not just simply admonishing or advising, rather it is admonishing or advising in the best possible manner.
ما هي الموعظة؟
And the Shaykh Abu Bakr Ta'ala is asking the question, what is this موعظة or this admonition or advising?
الموعظة قد وصفها الصحابي من حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما قال وعظنا رسول الله موعظة بليغة ذرفت منها العيون ووجلت منها القلوب. إذن الموعظة هي ما يوعظ به الموعوظ من واعظ. إذن موعظة وموعوظ وواعظ كلها معناها النصح بالإشفاق وترقيق القلب.
And the Shaykh Abu Bakr Ta'ala stated that what is meant by this mawa'idh al hasana or the best possible admonishing or advising, and the best example is the hadith of Irbad in the Sariya, where he described, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam admonished us or advised us, and it was bareed, it was a very touching admonishment, so much so that our eyes feared from what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, and that the hearts feared from what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying. And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that in this hadith you have the mu'idah, the admonishment that is being given, or the advice that is being given. You have the person who is giving this admonishment or giving this advice, and you have the person who is being admonished or the person who is being advised. And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that this mu'idah to the hasanah is when the person advises with ishtar, having compassion for the person that he is advising.
فكما أن هناك موعظة حسنة فهناك موعظة غير حسنة.
And the Shaykh Abu Bakr Ta'ala stated that as we see that there is a good or the best possible admonishment, likewise there is an admonishment that is not good, it is a bad admonishment.
ما هي الموعظة الغير حسنة؟
And what is that admonishment that is not the best admonishment, or that is not the good admonishment?
هي اللين في موضع الشدة والشدة في موضع اللين.
That admonishment or advising that is not good is when the individual is lenient in a situation that deems him to be harsh or strict, and or the opposite of that, the person is strict and in a situation that necessitates him to be lenient with regards to it. This is the ma'uridah that is not good.
بمعنى,
in other words,
أن الأمر اليسير لا تغلط فيه.
The Shaykh Abu Al-Azhar stated that that affair which is an easy affair, a simple affair, do not be harsh or over severe or over harsh with regards to that.
والأمر العظيم,
and the great affair,
لا تتهاون فيه.
The great affair do not be negligent or lenient with regards to that.
مثال.
Example.
شخص فعل شرك.
An individual, he commits associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commits shirk.
كيف أنكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على من وقع في الشرك؟
How did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم admonish the individual who fell into a manifestation of shirk?
الله أكبر, إنها السنن, قلتم الذي نفسي بيده كما قال قوم موسى اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة, وأغلظ في ذلك وأنكر. والرجل الذي قال ما شاء الله وشئت, قال بل ما شاء الله وحده أجعلتني لله ندا, كان في ذلك يمارس مع ذلك المنكر حجما. أو شخص صراه يزني, ماذا تقول له؟ الله يحمانا وإياكم, هذا أمر خطير بعد الشرك وقتل النفوس أيضا. إنكار هذه الأشياء لا يكون تتلطف مع مثل هذا الذي يخي هذا ما يصلح, هذا أمر آخر. شخص شرب بشماله, إنكارك عليه غير شخص تجده يعبد غير الله أو يذبح لغير الله. فتجد بعض الناس يشد فيما ينبغي فيه اللين والحكمة ويتهاون فيما حقه الإنكار بشدة حتى يشعر الواقع في المنكر أنه أمره ليس باليسير, مع أنها كلها ليست في حق الله سهلة. والشرك أعظم ذنب عصي الله. الشاهد, الموعظة الحسنة ضدها الموعظة غير الحسنة. مطلق راح الماء جاب الماء. نعم.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى يقول ذلك ويعمل نفس الزنفو أن سنة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في قصر هذه المجلس. الشيخ عبد الله تعالى said that if you saw an individual, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw an individual or he heard the statement of shirk, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, what was his response? He said, Allahu Akbar. Verily, this is the path that was traversed by like the Jews with regards to Musa, and then he mentioned the ayah. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you could see the severity in his face and the intonation of his sound and making his inkar. Also, the person who said, MashaAllah wa shirk, Allah has willed, and so have you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he admonished this individual, and he was severe with regards to this. He said, have you made me a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Shaykh of the Allah ta'ala stated that this is exemplified of using severity or harsh statements in a situation that deems the individual to be harsh, which is different from the inkar or the rebuking that you would do if a person drank with his left hand. So if a person commits shirk, or he has done something like fornication or adultery, which after shirk and after the killing of the unlawful killing of someone, this is a very major sin. The Sheikh Abdullah has understood that you just go to this person and say, yeah, this is not befitting. Rather, your inkar should match the severity of the sin that that individual committed. And the Shaykh gave a situation of when an individual drinks with his left hand, this is something that is a slight affair. It's not one that requires an individual to be harsh with regards to it. And the Shaykh reiterated the fact that those situations which deem an individual to be harsh, yani the individual is harsh. Those situations which deem the individual to be light, then the individual is light or lean with regards to, or not as severe with regards to. This is
hikmah.
وقال رحمه الله تعالى وعن أبي وائل شقيق بن سلمة رضي الله عنه قال كان ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه يذكرنا في كل خميس مرة فقال له رجل يا أبا عبد الرحمن لو وجدت أنك ذكرتنا كل يوم فقال أما إنه يمنعني من ذلك أني أكره أن أملكم وإني أتخولكم بالموعظة كما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتخولنا كما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتخولنا بها مخافة السآمة علينا. متفق عليه.
هدي نبوي.
This is prophetic wisdom, prophetic guidance.
قال كان يعظ يذكرنا كل خميس يعني مرة في الأسبوع.
Here it says that Ibn Mas'ud used to give them an admonishment one time per week.
بعض الناس تجده يكرر موعظته ويرددها في مجلس واحد أكثر من مرة، وهذا خلاف السنة. السنة التخول بالموعظة، التخول يتخولنا بالموعظة يعني ما معناها؟ يعني بين فترة وأخرى، يعني يتعاهدنا في فاصل زمني. بعض الناس يمارس الدعوة بغير هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، هذا ليس من الحكمة.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى saying that with regards to this law and the fact that Ibn Mas'ud used to give them an admonition once a week, the Shaykh عبد الله تعالى said that there are some people in one gathering the person will repeat his admonition more than once, and this is in opposition to the prophetic guidance. As we know here in this hadith that Ibn Mas'ud used to get admonished from time to time, and the Shaykh عبد الله تعالى explained this word يتخبرنا, meaning that it would be from time to time, meaning that there would be some passage of time or a period of time between admonitions.
مع أن شقيق أبو سلمة يقول نحن نطلب منه، يعني هناك رغبة من المستمعين له أن يعظهم أن يحدث عليهم، إلا أنه يريد أن تكون كل أسبوع مرة مخافة السآمة.
Despite the fact that the narrator of this hadith,
يعني الملل، السآمة يعني الملل، تملون. No.
Despite the fact that the narrator of this hadith stated that we wanted Ibn Mas'ud to admonish us every day, despite this fact, Ibn Mas'ud used to do it once a week. And the Shaykh Abid Allah Ta'ala, as well as mentioned in this hadith, it was done or it was avoided to give an admonition every day out of fear that the people will experience boredom.
من حكمة الله عز وجل أن صلاة الجمعة مرة في الأسبوع، ومع ذلك انظر ماذا لها في النفس. وباعث الرغبة في الانصات للخطيب واستماع موعظته.
And the fact that the individual looks to or wants to hear the admonition and the advice of the khatib.
الشارع الحكيم شرح ما هو خير لنا فنقتدي بذلك خير لنا.
And the wisdom of the Sharia, يعني this has been legislated for us, and it is incumbent upon us to follow it because it has been legislated for us due to the wisdom of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala in legislating it for us.
نعم.
وقال رحمه الله تعالى وعن عمار بن ياسر رضي الله عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن طول صلاة الرجل وقصر خطبته مئنة من فقه فأطيل الصلاة وأقصر الخطبة. رواه مسلم.
يريد خطبان اليوم يسمعون الحديث.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى said that it would be nice if the ones who give the khutbah nowadays knew this hadith.
يعني حضرنا علمانا أجلاء علم غزارة يستطيع أن يتكلم زمن طويل، لأننا وجدناهم يختصرون يعني قلة. أحيانا تجد الخطبة كاملة الأولى والثانية ما تصل 12-13 دقيقة، فيها آيات وفيها أحاديث وفيها من أقوال الصحابة وفيها من كلمات السلف الصالح والعلماء، الشيء الكثير على اختصارها، قليل كلامه فيها، وتجدها في أحكام، في آداب، في أخلاق، في طهارة، في صلاة، في زكاة، في أمور ديننا. نعم.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى said that he personally went to different or attended different khutbas of the ulama, and despite the fact that these ulama, they had an abundance of knowledge and they were able to speak for hours on end, despite this fact, you find the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that the first khutbah and the second khutbah combined wouldn't be longer than 13 or 14 minutes. Yet in that khutbah, you find verses from the Book of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, prophetic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, statements of the Salaf al-Saleh, statements from the ulama, and the actual speech of that person giving that khutbah, no speech from him, just those statements. And despite this fact, the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that it dealt with an abundance of issues, whether it be ahkam related to tahara or prayer or fasting, or whether it be a mu'idah or an admonition, all of these affairs. Despite this fact, it was only 13 or 14 minutes.
ادخل على اليوتيوب.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى سيد
واكتب
يوتيوب
خطبة الشيخ عبد العزيز بن صالح الشيخ الخويفي الشيخ بن سبيل الخياط تجد كلام متين مختصر مبارك في خطبة واحدة هي اللي موجودة لابن إبراهيم كل الصلاة ما جات يمكن حدود 9 دقائق الله يرحمه يرحمهم جميعا. واليوم تجد بعض الخطباء نسخة من إذاعة الأخبار الله يهدينا وياه.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى says that all of you go to YouTube and enter to YouTube خطبة up and the Shaykh عبد الله تعالى mentioned different علماء
خياط
ابن خياط عصر قليبي
عبد العزيز بن صالح إمام مسجد النبوي عبد العزيز
بن صالح عصر the previous Mufti, Sheikh Muhammad bin Ibrahim.
Bin Salih, Hamma al-Masjid al-Nabawi, يمكن 50 سنة.
The Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that this fellow, Abdul Aziz bin Salih, he was an imam in the prophetic, the Prophet's Masjid for more than 50 years, 50 or some odd years. The Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that you can listen to their khutbahs and see how short they were.
شيخ ابن عثيمين وغيره. شوف كتاب الخطب اللوامع أو الجوامع هكذا له كتاب. شوف الخطب اللي فيه كم ما شاء الله. تمنى من خطبانا يستفيدون علمانا بطريقتهم في الخطبة وأن لا تكون الخطبة عبارة عن نشرة أخبار. وبالعكس صاحب الأخبار يذكر ويحلل لكن هؤلاء حتى تحليلهم مو مبني على معرفة سياسية مبني على حماس هذا غلط. لا تشغلون الناس فيما لهم فيما ليس لهم فيه قدرة. علم الناس دين الله عز وجل هذا الواجب على الخطيب إذا اعتلى المنبر فالناس تسمع لك وجوبا إصغاء الناس لك وجوبا حتى لو مس شيء لا لو كلم همس من جواره لا فاستماعه لك بأمر الشرع فأسمعه ما ينفع أسمعه ما ينفع يا الله المستعان.
The Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala said that you can find the book of Shaykh of the Fame of Allah Ta'ala, which has his different khutbahs that he gave, and you can look for yourself and see how short they were. And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala said that this is different from the condition of many of the khatibs of today, whereby their khutbah is a news report. And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala said that the person giving the khatib that this is an immense or a very great responsibility, and that the person needs to keep this in mind, that those listening to him, this is an obligation upon them to listen to what he has to say. So much so that it comes in the hadith that the Prophet said that the person who speaks or the person who prays with so much as a stone, this person has done an idle action or an idol, has committed idle speech. The Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala stated that the khatib, the one who is giving the khutbah, should bear this in mind, that it is an obligation for the individuals to listen to him and listen to what he has to say. Therefore, this individual should teach them the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teach them that which benefits them, and not involve himself in a news report or political affairs, those affairs that he has no knowledge of, and that his analysis of these political affairs is probably more than likely outright wrong, and he's giving the people that which they have no power over or they have no knowledge of. The Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that what is obligatory upon these individuals given the khutbah is that they teach the people the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وهذا دليل على فقهه.
And Allah says this hadith is that the individual, the brevity of his khutbah, this is proof of the individual's understanding his fiqh and the religion.
بل.
وقال رحمه الله تعالى وعن معاوية بن الحكم السلمي رضي الله عنه قال بين أنا أصلي مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا عطس رجل من القوم فقلت يرحمك الله فرمى للقوم بأبصارهم فقلت اتق لا المياه ما شأنكم تنظرون إليه فجعلوا يضربون بأيديهم على أفخارهم فلما رأيتهم يصمتونني لكني سكت فلما صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بأبيه هو وأمي ورأيت معلما قبله ولا بعده أحسن تعليما منه فوالله ما كهر وما ولا ضرب ولا شتمني قال إن هذه الصلاة لا يصح فيها شيء من كلام الناس إنما هي التسبيح والتكبير وقراءة القرآن أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قلت يا رسول الله إني حديث عهد بالجاهلية وقد جاء الله بالإسلام وإن منا رجالا يأتون الكهان قال فلا تأتيهم قلت ومنا رجال يتطيرون قال ذاك شيء يجبونه في صدورهم فلا يسدنهم رواه مسلم
قال حادثة ووصف يصف به موقف له
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى سيد أن النووي لابن حديث is explaining a situation that actually happened for him
هو مسلم
he was a Muslim
هو داخل الإسلام يعرف أنه إذا عطس واحد يقول له يرحمك الله
He's a new Muslim and he understood that if a person sneezes, the response is, you say, Alhamdulillah.
Salah.
And then we bring.
واحد عطس.
A person sneezes.
قال Alhamdulillah.
You said, Alhamdulillah.
ما علم أن الكلام في الصلاة ممنوع.
He did not know that.
كان في بداية الإسلام نسخ.
He didn't know that. It was impermissible for him to speak during the prayer. And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala said that when the prayer first became an obligation, it was permissible to speak, but it was obligated.
And ويضربون أفخاذهم. هكذا يعني أصدر ما يبينون أنهم أنكروا عليه وكان في ذلك منهم غلظة وشدة.
The Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala said that after he mentioned this during the prayer, that the companions that they were hitting their thighs so as to acknowledge that this individual has done something wrong, so as to rebuke him and the action that he did, and it was a severe rebuke.
وقال وأهلك لهم يا يعني كان أصابتني بمصيبة. هذه كلمة يقولها العرب في الأمر الشديد عندما لا يعرف أو يصيبه ما يضايقه يقول ذلك.
And the Shaykh of Allah was understanding that his response, what he said, it was a statement that the Arabs used to say if they were faced with a calamity, something that they didn't know, they were faced with a calamity. This is the response that they said, and this is what he said upon seeing him beating their thighs or hitting their thighs, so as to rebuke him.
قال فما يقول سكت أنا سكت خلاص. أما أنا حاسس إني مسوي غلط بس وش الغلط ما أدري بس إني سكت صمت. فلما انتهى الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من الصلاة قال لا كهرني لا ضربني لا شتمني إنما قال هذه الصلاة ما يصح فيها شيء من الكلام إنما فيها ثم علم صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم بدأ يسأل يستزيد في العلم سأل عن الكهانة سأل عن التطير سأل عن أشياء نهض عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من هذا كله الشاهد أنها رفقة وموعظة فهذا لما قلت لكم قبل قليل الموعظة حسنة لا تشين في موضع اللين وألا تلين في موضع الشدة
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى said that upon the Sahaba hitting their thighs this Sahabi realized that the narrator he realized that he was making a mistake but he didn't know what the mistake was but upon seeing their suturing of him he was quiet And then he explained how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him. He said that he had saw or he hadn't seen any teacher better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't rebuke him, didn't censure him, didn't hit him. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him. He said that in this prayer, there are nothing from speech is beneficial in this prayer or permissible in this prayer except a takbir which is fear and the recitation of the Quran. And the Shaykh Allah Ta'ala is saying that look at the leniency and the compassion that the Prophet had while advising the Sahaba. And this goes back to what the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala pointed out to us, that al-maw'idat al-hasana is when you have wisdom putting things in their proper place. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ was lenient in the situation was because the situation deemed that. And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that again, what is wrong is that when the person is lenient in a situation that requires him to be harsh or severe, or the person is severe or harsh in a situation that requires him to be lenient in it. وقال رحمه الله تعالى وعن الإرباد بن سارية رضي الله عنه قال وعدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موعظة وجلت منها القلوب وذرفت منها العيون وذكر الحديث وقد سبق بكماله في باب الأمر بالمحافظة على السنة وذكرنا أن الترمذي قال إنه حديث حسن صحيح.
ترجمة الحديث.
The hadith was narrated by Al-Irbad in Sharia, wherein he stated that the Prophet advised us a very touching advice or admonishment, so much so that the hearts trembled and that their eyes teared. And then he mentioned the rest of the hadith, and this hadith was previously mentioned in the title entitled Adhering to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the author in Nawawi bin Rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the Tirmidhi
قال وعظنا رسول الله موعظة في رواية بليغة.
And it comes in the narration that this admonishment was a very بليغة.
وجلت منها.
So much so that the heart trembled from it.
القلوب وذرفت منها العيون.
And that the eyes teared from it.
الصحابي يقول وعظنا من الواعظ؟
The companion he stated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم admonished us or advised us, and then the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala is saying you have this mawida and you have this advice. Who is giving the advice or the admonishment?
الواعظ رسول الله.
The one giving the admonishment or the advice is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
والموعوظ الصحابة.
And those being advised were the companions.
والموعظة.
And you have this admonishment or this advice.
إذن لابد أن تكون الموعظة سائرة في خطى المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم على هذه النبوة.
The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that what is derived from this is that the admonishment or the advice, it must be in agreement with the advice and the admonishment or the guidance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
لا وعظ بالقصص.
Not an admonishment by recounting stories
والخرافات
or fables
والخزعبلات
or tales
والمنامات
or dreams
والأحداث
or certain situations that have happened
وقيل وقال.
And he said, she said,
أعظم موعظة القرآن وصحيح السنة.
The موعظة should be based on that or should comprise of the Quran and authentic hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
الموعظ الصحابة.
And those who were being advised were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
فماذا يدل عليه؟
And what does this exemplify or prove or illustrate?
ليس أحد يستغني عن الموعظة.
What that is illustrates is that there is nobody who is free of needing an admonishment or advice.
ولذلك لا تقول نحن الحمد لله ما نحتاج. شوف ناس ثانيين عظم.
Like due to this, the person should say, We are in a good situation. We don't need to be advised and want to see somebody else, speak to somebody else.
أو شخص يقول الحمد لله هذا أنت جاي تعظم ناس صالحين مطاوعة وشوف لك ناس يحتاجون موعظة كلنا يحتاج موعظة.
Or a person says you're looking at religious people or people who are upon a righteousness. Go look for somebody else. We're not in need of this. The Shaykh Abdullah said this is all of us. Are not being admonished or advised.
فلا تجعل نفسك بعيد عن ذلك.
So don't make yourself far from being admonished or far from this.
كلنا نحتاج الموعظة.
All of us need this admonishment or advice.
نعم.
وقال رحمه الله تعالى باب الوقار والسكينة. قال الله تعالى وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مستجمعاً قط ضاحكا حتى ترى منه لهواته إنما كان يتبسم. متفق عليه.
ترجمة.
The author mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the chapter of waqar, having respect or carrying oneself in a dignified manner, and sakina, tranquility. And he mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the servants of the Rahman, they are those who traverse upon the earth in a humble manner. And if an ignorant person speaks to them or says something to them, they say, their response is salam. And then the author brought the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. She stated that I have not seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mustajmi'an. I had not seen him in a manner whereby he laughed so much so that his lahawat showed. Rather, he used to smile. And then the author explained what this lahawat means. It means that it was the flesh in the upper part of the mouth. Meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he laughed, he would smile and not open his mouth so much so that this part of his mouth, the inner part of his mouth, or the roof of his mouth appeared.
What is that, Dick? Al-waqar wa-sakina.
And due to this fact, this waqar, this dignity and sakina, tranquility,
sifat ahl iman.
They are the qualities of the people of iman.
وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. سماتهم الوقار, سماتهم الهدوء, سماتهم السمت الحسن, لا أن يكون ذا خفة, إنما يعلوه الوقار ويعلوه السمت. جانب الابتسامة يبتسم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت ترى أسنانه ويعرف تبسمه في وجهه, ولم يكن هدي صلى الله عليه وسلم القهقه في الضحك ويصل به الى حد الاستلقاء, بل كان يقول لو تعلمون ما اعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولبكيتم كثيرا.
الشيخ حبيب الله تعالى said that this is from this tranquility and this carrying oneself in a dignified manner, that this is from the characteristics of the people of Iman. And then the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala reminded us of this verse, the fact that this is a quality of the servants of Ar-Rahman, that they traverse upon the earth in a dignified manner, in a humble manner, and if they're ignorant, say something to them, their response is salam, they give salam. And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala stated that this is the quality of the people of Iman, that they carry themselves in a dignified manner, and they carry themselves, and they are tranquil. They are not people who are characterized by khifa or being flighty. Rather, these people are dignified, the people of Iman are dignified, and they carry themselves in the best possible manner. They are tranquil, and they carry themselves with hudu or calmness. And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned the hadith of Aisha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he smiled, that he would smile, and sometimes his teeth would show. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not characterized by this qahqaha or extreme laughter to the extent that he would fall out laughing. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried himself in a dignified manner, and the people that followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traversed the same path.
Al-Bab al-Ibadah.
وقال رحمه الله تعالى باب الندب إلى اتيان الصلاة والعلم ونحوهما من العبادات بالسكينة والوقار,
أي بالهدوء والوقار والسكينة.
Meaning that the individual is calm and he carries himself to these places of ibadah, these places of worship, in a calm, humble, tranquil and dignified manner. قال الله تعالى ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا أقيمت الصلاة فلا تأتوها تسعون وأتوها تمشون عليكم السكينة فما أدركتم فصلوا وما فاتكم فأتموا. متفق عليه. زاد مسلم في رواية له فإن أحدكم إذا كان يعمل إلى الصلاة فهو في الصلاة.
نعم.
وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما انه دفع مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
يعني هذا دليل تعظيمك للصلاه انك لا تاتي تسعى تجري تهلول, فلما تاتي بالصلاه تجمع انفاسك وانت لا تدري ماذا قرا الامام وماذا ستقرا وماذا. امشوا عليكم السكينه فما ادركتم فصلوا وما فاتكم فاخذوا. وهذا فيه تنبيه للانسان اذا اتى الصلاه أن يصلي على الحال الذي الإمام عليها, بعض الناس اليوم إذا وجد الإمام في السجدة انتظر حتى يقوم الإمام اسجد. الحالة التي هو عليها اسجد، كان السجدة هذه التي يرفعك الله بها وأعظم ما يكون في الصلاة السجود، أقرب ما يكون العبد من الله في السجود. نعم.
الشيخ رضي الله عنه تعالى السيدة السيدة your what is written in this verse your glorification or your exalting and your reverence that you have for these affairs of ibadah it is exemplified in the manner that you approach these forms of worship and your exalting the prayer or revering the prayer it is exemplified by how you approach the prayer that if the individual if he comes to the prayer running and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited us from that if he comes to the prayer running the person comes to the prayer and he's breathing very heavily due to the fact that he ran to get to the prayer so much so that he's trying to catch his breath and he's in a manner whereby he doesn't have any recollection of what the imam read nor does he have any focus of the prayer simply because he has approached it in a manner that the Prophet ﷺ forbade us from doing rather the Prophet ﷺ stated that when you approach that prayer you are to be calm, tranquil and you are to walk and not run and then the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala he stated that doing this is in a manner walking to the prayer is from the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala mentioned
أنت في صلاة وأنت ذاهب إلى الصلاة. لعلها تلك السجدة التي يرفعك الله بها. أقرب ما يكون العبد من الله وهو ساجد.
The Sheikh حبيب الله تعالى mentioned a mistake that many people commit today. And what they do? They come to the masjid and they see that the imam is making sajda. The Sheikh حبيب الله تعالى stated that it is from the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that the individual he does what the imam is in, whatever position the imam is in, the person. He does what the imam is doing. So for example, if the person comes to the prayer and the imam is in sajda, he doesn't just sit there and wait. Rather, he goes into sajda. And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that you don't know that this sajda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may raise you with this one sajda, and it comes in that authentic hadith that the closest that the individual is to his Lord is when he is in the prostration.
Indeed.
And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala wants to bring something else to our attention.
بعض الناس إذا دخل المسجد والإمام في الركوع تجده يجري.
The Sheikh Abu Mu'awiyah said that another mistake that people make if they come into the masjid and the imam is in the ركوع that they run to the prayer.
أو تجد بعضهم يقول.
Or the individual makes a scoffing sound so as to alert the imam.
أو يقول بسم الله ما شاء الله ما شاء الله أو إذا معه مفاتيح يعني يشعر الإمام إني أنا ساعتي انتظرني.
What? The individual he does these things so as to let the imam know that look I'm here I want to catch the rakah the rukur and the Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala said no.
أو يجري ويضرب أقدامه في الأرض ليشعر الإمام أن هناك جماعة خلفك سوف تأتي إليك خاصة إذا كانت أرضية المسجد بعد خشب بورتبل خلاص.
And the Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala said that the person run heavy footed. And the Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that in some, for example, a portable masjid that they have like wooden floors, so it makes a very loud sound. The individual does this so as to alert the imam that there is a jama'ah or there is a group of people who want to catch the rukur, so wait for us. The Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that this is incorrect.
زادك الله حرصا ولا تعب لا تفعلها مرة
ثانية. Like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated, he said, يعني may Allah increase you in your keenness, but don't do it again.
من يعرف قصة هذا الحديث؟ زادك الله حرصا ولا تعب.
And do you know that the story of this hadith?
ممتاز. واحد، اثنين، ثلاثة، أربعة، خمسة، ستة، سبعة، ثمانية، تسعة. ما شاء الله. أقول لكم عارفينه. إذا ما يحتاج أذكره. هذا حديث أبي بكر.
This is the hadith of Abu Bakr.
هذا الصحابي. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم راكع.
This companion, he came to the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a state of rukur.
فدخل المسجد.
And he entered. The Sahabi entered into the masjid.
فلما دخل المسجد وإذا برسول الله راكع.
When he entered into the masjid, he found that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was in the position of rukur.
قال وهو يمشي الله أكبر ثم سجد ويمشي يمشي 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 حتى أدرك الجماعة.
So what this Sahabi did is that when he entered into the masjid, he saw that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was like this. He made takbir, then he put himself in the position of rukur and he walked while he was in rukur so as to catch the rope.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم آتاه الله معجزة.
And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala is reminding us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was given a mu'jiza.
وهي أنه يريه الله في صلاته من خلفه.
And this miracle was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the ability that he would see those behind him while he was praying.
فقال له زادك الله حرصا ولا تعد.
And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated to this companion, he said, may Allah increase you in your keenness, but do not do it again. No. Do not return to it.
وعن ابن عباس
وإن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال أنه دفع مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم عرفة فسمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وراءه زجرا شديدا وضربا وصوتا للإبل فأشار بصوته إليهم وقال أيها الناس عليكم بالسكينة فإن البر ليس بالإيضاع رواه البخاري وروى مسلم بعضه
يعني عليكم بالهدوء ليس في الإسراع ما يوافق البر فهذا في عبادة في الحج السكينة
The Shaykh of Allah is saying that when the companion mentioned that despite the fact that they were involved in an affair of worship they were involved in a rite of Hajj the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised them to be calm and tranquil and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that righteousness is not in Isra or hastiness or rushing or expediting things. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised them to be tranquil and calm.
طيب الله عز وجل يقول وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم.
The Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala said, okay, how do we understand in light of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whereby Allah says, وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم. Rush to or be hasty and seeking the forgiveness of your Lord.
Thank you when you said how we understand this. يعني كأنما أردت التعارض سبقتني. شكرا لك. ماذا حصل؟
What happened?
لماذا؟ لماذا قلنا؟ وعجلت إليك ربي لترضى.
And I have hastened to you, my Lord. The verse, the meaning of, I have hastened to you, our Lord, so that you are pleased with me.
هذا في معنى المبادرة.
The Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala stated that these words here. Then what is meant not to be hasty in doing the action, but what is meant is mubadara, meaning that the individual is
على الفور.
The individual does it immediately. He immediately does these actions which are pleasing to his Lord.
وهذا في العبادات أن يكون فيها على الفور لا على التراخي في ما حل وقتها وتحقق شرطها.
And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala is mentioning an Usuli principle that This is the concept of al-fawr, that those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with, if the conditions are met, then the individual, he does them immediately.
Ajibad.
وَقَالَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَابْ إِكْرَامِ الضَّيْفِ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ الْمُكْرَمِينَ إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامٌ قَوْمٌ مُنْكَرُونَ فراغ إلى أهله فجاء بعجل سمين فقربه إليهم قال ألا
تأكلون جاهز ولا يكون ختام للدرس جاهز ولا ننتظر شوي جاهز يا ربع طيب بسم الله
فراغ
أتاك حديث ضيف إبراهيم المكرمين
فراغ إلى أهله فجاء بعجل سمين فقربه إليهم قال ألا تأكلون وقال تعالى وجاءه قومه يهرعون إليه ومن قبل كانوا يعملون السيئات قال يا قوم هؤلاء بناتي هن أطهر لكم فاتقوا الله ولا تخزوني في ضيفي
هل إبراهيم استشار الملائكة في الضيافة؟
The Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala said that Ibrahim consulted with the angels before hosting them.
ليس من الأدب عرفا ولا شرعا أن تستشير الضيف أكرمك ولا ما أكرمك
الشيخ حبيب الله تعالى stated that it is not from good manners whether they be with regards to customs or with regards to the shara the Islamic legislation that the individual that the host that he consults with his that he consults with his guest rather this individual is hospitable and generous with them
هذا إبراهيم عليه السلام
this is Ibrahim
و والأنبياء كلهم كرماء وليس في الأنبياء بخيل.
The Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that this is the story of Ibrahim, and he was a prophet from the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of the prophets were generous and hospitable, and they weren't misers.
والكرم من كمالات الخلق.
And being generous is from the completion of one's character.
وفرق بين الكرم.
And there's a difference between being generous
والإسراف.
And israf, or being a spendthrift.
والكرم والبخل.
And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala said that there is karam, generosity, and bukhl, miserliness, or stinginess.
حقيقة الكرم.
And the reality of karam or generosity.
أن يجود بالموجود.
Is that the individual is generous with that which he has.
ولا يتكلف المفقود.
And that the individual doesn't overburden himself with things that he doesn't have.
هذه قدرتي ما أستطيع أن أطعمك.
This is what I have. This is what I'm able to present to you. This is generosity.
بل لما أتى ضيف لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخذه أحد الصحابة فقال ضيفك ضيفي يا رسول الله فوضع الطعام وأطفأ السراج
And at this individual, when he had the guest, that he placed the food in front of the guest, and he turned off the lights.
وأشعروه أنهم يأكلون معه.
And he made it.
وليس طعامهم إلا قليل.
And due to the smallness or to the littleness or the smallness of what was actually there, this individual turned off the lights, and the guest feel that the others were eating with him, but actually the guest was the only one who was eating.
فأخبر الله نبيه وحي.
And Allah revealed.
إن الله عجب. عجيبة بصنيعهما بضيفهما
الله سبحانه وتعالى
هذا والله كرم
that was pleased with what the host did with his guest
أما أن تملأ الموائد وترمى في الزبائن هذا إسراف ليس كرم
but the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated having an overabundance of food for your guests so much so that the majority of it is thrown in the trash that this is not considered generosity rather this is إسراف or being a strength of sin for it
فمن عنا إليك له حق عليك.
The Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that whoever is a guest with you, he has a right upon you.
حديث من كان يوم.
And the author رحمه الله تعالى mentioned أن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليصل رحمه ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقول خيرا أو ليصمت. متفق عليه. وعن أبي شريح خويلد بن عمرو الخزاعي رضي الله عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه فليكرم ضيفه جائزته. قالوا: وما جائزته يا رسول الله؟ قال: يومه وليلته والضيافة ثلاثة أيام فما كان وراء ذلك فهو صدقة عليه متفق عليه وفي رواية لا يحل لمسلم أن يقيم عند أخيه حتى يؤثمه قالوا يا رسول الله وكيف يؤثمه قال يقيم عنده ولا شيء له يقريه به
يعني إذا أولا واجب الضيافة نجائزها التي هي أوجب الواجب يوم وليلة
الشيخ حبيب الله تعالى stated that with regards to the guest, what is obligatory upon the host is that he hosts this guest one day and one night.
تمام الضيافة ثلاثة أيام.
And at the completion of this, 3 days.
إن زادت فهذه صدقة منك.
And if the individual, the host,
صدقة وإحسان. أما الأولى واجب. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر يكرم ضيفه. حق الإكرام ثلاثة أيام. بعدها هذا جانب تصدق منك وإحسان.
The Shaykh Abu Dawud Ta'ala said that only more than 3 days that this is considered sadaqah and considered being generous or charity for that guest. And the Shaykh Abu Dawud Ta'ala mentioned what is obligatory is one day and one night.
لكن إذا علمت أنه ليس عنده شيء لا تؤثمه أن يقع في الإثم بعدم قيامه بحق لأنه لا يجد شيء.
But if you know that the host doesn't have anything, then don't make him يعني fall into sin, meaning that you overstay, knowing that this individual doesn't have what he needs in order to host you as a guest.
عند عامتنا يقولون حنة حنة ولذلك بعضهم إذا حلف عليك أنت حاني يقول أنا حانكم من الرداء ما نبحلك من عيون الطيب فعلا آداب التي يمارسها الناس اليوم في كثير من أمورهم مبنية على أصول شرعية ما هي هكذا على آداب مرعية فإكرام الضيف واجب فإياك أن تدخل في حق ضيفك أو تتعمد عدم كرامة.
The Sheikh Abdullah Ta'ala is saying that it's mentioned by a colloquial statement that is mentioned by the common people, hey? And the Sheikh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that this statement is based upon Sharia principles. Like what is based upon this hadith, and the Sheikh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that it is obligatory upon the host to be generous or to host his guests.
ختام هذا المجلس هذا الحديث والدرس القادم أعتذر منكم فهناك عقد قران لأبنائي اثنين في الإمارات ما بيكم تجون لكن بيكم تدعون لهم صلى الله يوفقنا وإياكم بالله التوفيق وصلى الله وسلم على محمد المسافة عليكم بعيدة.
The Sheikh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that this is the last hadith that we will take tonight. And the Sheikh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that next week there will not be a lesson as two of the Sheikh's children, sons, are getting married. And the Sheikh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that he does not want you to come as the distance is quite far. Rather, the Sheikh Abdullah Ta'ala stated to supplicate and make dua for them. And the Sheikh Abdullah Ta'ala again excuses himself from all of the lessons next week.
الجمعة والسبت والأحد
توقف الدروس يعني Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And the Sheikh Abdullah Al-Jarrah concludes tonight's lesson by sharing prayers and salutations on the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وجماعة المسجد يدعونكم على الضيافة حياكم الله جميعا.
And like it's customary, the brothers from the masjid are all invited for coffee, tea and sweets.
تفضل ما تروحون
تفضل الشيخ عبد الله تعالى استنى على Welcome, don't leave before attending the coffee and tea.
ضيقين على كذا شوي وش اسوي بهم متعمدين يبون يضيقون علي.